Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together a Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the book of the Psalms and there of Psalm 85. Psalm 85. To the chief musician, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou wast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sin, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. We hope to remember in prayer Mrs. Gurnison with the death of her brother today, Mr. Wayland van Essa, of the Netherlands at the age of 70 years. Let us try to ask the Lord for a blessing. Our Lord of the heavens and of the earth, then it has pleased thee on the evening of this work day that the doors of thy house have been opened, and we may have the opportunity, insofar that it was possible and insofar that there was desire, to place ourselves under thy holy word. Give a humble and a broken heart for all the mercies which thou wast so richly showered upon us in this very day. Then thou wast cared, then thou wast spared, then thou hast protected, and then thou hast provided. And that for a sinful and a wayward people. And to that end, in this evening hour, when we attempt to draw nigh unto thee with our unclean lips, may it please thee by the first time and by renewal to grant a deep impression of thy goodness and of thy mercy, but also of our unworthiness and of our sinnership. Then how fitting the prayer of the publican, and may it please thee to grant it in the heart. God, be merciful to me, a sinner, and be merciful to us as a people. That is our only hope and our only expectation, because we have absolutely nothing to plead upon. Our sins, they are great and they are manifold, where we do what thou forbids, and we do not what thou commands. Lord, we humbly beg of Thee that Thou may remember us in this evening hour by renewal for an hour of preparation, where when Thou granteth on the coming Lord's Day, then it shall be heard. All things are ready, and the Master calleth Thee, O Lord. Wilt Thou grant light upon Thine own work? Wilt Thou grant light upon that wedding garment? Thou knowest most perfectly who are Thine. Thou knowest where they are encamped. Thou knowest how they have come up to Thy house in this evening hour. Those that have come to a saving knowledge of Thy dear Son for the forgiveness of sins. Lord, remember the unconverted. Oh, may it become true in this very hour that they may experience what it is to be an unconverted sinner traveling on that broad way to eternity. Wilt Thou spare us that we build not upon false foundations, as those foolish virgins, they had lamps, but not oil. Lord, remember seeking souls. Wilt Thou lead them further? Give no rest upon what they have experienced, but fill them more and more with that unrest, and that they may be brought to behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. Lord, remember Thy Zion. Wilt Thou grant those special exercises, a life bound to the throne of grace, can be in the life of Thy true Zion, that their ship is tossed to and fro, with many fears, and that with the solemnest of old, that they must exclaim, Thy waves and Thy billows have gone over me. But, O Lord, Thou hast promised to never forsake Thy Zion. And now Thou hast instituted also the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that their faith may be strengthened. May it take place. And may they be given to look upon Him who is white and ruddy, the chiefest among 10,000, fairer than the children of men, Emmanuel, a God with us. Lord, grant a prayer for one another, and that on the coming Lord's Day, that it may be a Bethel indeed, the house of the Lord, that the King may be present as one that serveth. Wilt Thou bless the manifold means of grace in the church, the family circles, and also in the Christian school, when by renewal Thy holy word has been opened. May it fall on well-prepared hearts. Thou hast promised to work from generation to generation. It is a dark and solemn time. Thou holdest Thy hand so still. May we be given to turn in unto ourselves, and may Thy church be given to repent and cry mightily unto Thee, that Thou may revive us and our children, and that many jewels may be added to the meritorial crown of Jesus Christ. Wilt Thou remember Thy church all over the earth? Uphold the persecuted church. Take the veil off the Jewish nation. Remember all mission work, also our mission field, and those that bring thy word to the ends of the earth, and may it prosper in thy hand. Remember the nations of the earth. Thou speakest in many ways, fire, sickness, and many other ways, but by nature man understands it not, and then he hears not thy voice, but then he only continues, attempting to remove the consequences of sin, but never that true sorrow over the character of sin. And to that end, no godly sorrow, no repentance. And that in the midst of the judgments, that man only becomes colder and bolder in sin, O Lord. Well, thou keep us and our children from the hardness of heart. We remember our poor nation that continues its downward spiral to destruction. The unborn daily murdered, the seventh commandment trampled upon, and the Sabbath day desecrated, the crown has fallen from our head. A woe unto us that we have sinned. Remember all those in high authority, those that have respect for thy holy word, and attempting to bring our country back to thy word. Wilt thou uphold them in a special way in the midst of so much opposition and even persecution. Lord, remember all our needs. A widow has received the tiding today that a beloved brother was taken by the cold hand of death out of this time and ushered into eternity. Wilt thou remember her also in the day of tomorrow when she hopes to travel. Wilt thou remember the whole family circle. Remember all the mourning ones amongst us, all the elderly ones, the sick and afflicted ones taking treatments. Remember the handicapped. Remember the crosses, remember the scars. Remember prodigal sons and prodigal daughters. Wilt thou bless the labors of our hand. Wilt thou grant health, strength, and courage, and that we may need thee for all our ways in all circumstances of life, at all times, in all places, and at times to notice thy special providence, and given to realize that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. All may we be given by thy Spirit and by thy grace to seek first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and then thou wast promised that all other things shall be added unto it. Lord, wilt thou remember and help in this evening hour? Wilt thou open thy precious word? Grant the anointing of thy Holy Spirit. Wilt thou open our ears and open our hearts? Wilt thou remember all those that could not gather with us when they may listen along? But wilt thou remember all those that have come up, ah, Lord? May thy special presence and thy special blessing be experienced. Take away everything that could be a hindrance. May thy word have free course, And may the outgoing of the service be for the coming of thy kingdom and for the glory of thy name. We ask it in the pardoning of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 218, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6. O thou great shepherd of thy chosen race, who leadest like a flock thy Israel dear, from out the cherubim reveal thy face before our host, and now let thy might appear. Come thou, O God, to save us and restore. We shall be saved when shines thy face once more. And what follows, Psalter 218, the stanzas 1, 5, and 6.
Thank you.
in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. Then we wish to ask your attention for our text words, which you can find in Psalm 85, the verses 6, 7, and 8. Where God's word and our text reads thus, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Our text words speak of a special prayer by the Lord's people in a special time. With four thoughts in the first place, the revival begged for. In the second place, the mercy desired. In the third place, the spoken peace waited for. And in the fourth place, the folly warned against. A special prayer by the Lord's people in a special time. The revival begged for, the mercy desired, the spoken peace waited for, and the folly warned against. Beloved congregation, we have come together in this evening hour by renewal, for an hour of preparation, where when the Lord grants it, that on this coming Lord's Day, the Holy Supper of the Lord Jesus Christ shall be administered in our midst. Called the Lord's Supper because in the first place instituted by Christ. In the second place by his provision. In the third place, with his invitation, and in the fourth place, for the Lord's people. It is called a Holy Supper because instituted by a holy Christ, for a holy purpose, for a holy people, and no, not in themselves, because that people learn that they are unholy, but only holy in Christ. The Apostle Paul has admonished the church in the Epistle to the Corinthians, in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 28, so let every man examine himself and eat of that bread and drink of that wine. For he that drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. In the Scriptures, then we have many examples when there was a special meeting with the Lord, that there was also a special preparation. I read in Genesis 35, when the Lord has commanded Jacob and his household to return to Bethel, they were in a backslidden condition. That father Jacob has given a command to his household concerning garments, idols, and then we read that those idols and earrings, that they were hid under that oak. Concerning the Passover, then I read in Exodus 12, that they were to separate that lamb, a lamb without blemish, for 4 days. Thus a special time of preparation, then boys and girls, then when they saw that lamb, then they were given to meditate that in 4 days, that lamb would have to be killed and the blood applied to the doorpost, and then they had to make diligent search of their houses concerning leaven, which is a type of sin. Then we have called our text words a special prayer by the Lord's people in a special time. What a privilege it is for the child of God in a week of preparation, in that special time, to grant a special prayer with special exercises concerning special blessings, and to be given to experience special ways and special answers. It can be in a week of preparation that it is as that little ship of which we have heard on the past Lord's Day morning, that the storms come tossed to and fro, that a child of God knows it no more, because many times then the devil is very active also in a week of preparation. Then what a privilege and what a blessing it is when a soul may go to the throne of grace and say, Lord, carest thou not that I perish, and that the waves may become still, and that they may experience that peace? And in a week of preparation, to be led to the fountain of that peace. And that is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, declared in the signs and the seals of the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, in the broken bread and the poured out wine. Then over this solemn, then we read to the chief musician a solemn for the sons of Korah, or as in the marginal notes, of the sons of Korah. And then boys and girls, then maybe you know who Korah was. He was of the tribe of Levi, and he wanted a greater place, not satisfied where he has received a place. And to that end, together with Dathan and Abiram, then they have went to Moses and spoken their thoughts. And then on the following day, then Korah with 250 princes, they have come with their censers. And then the Lord has sent fire from heaven and destroyed Korah with those 250. And Dathan and Abiram with their families. The earth has opened up and they were swallowed up. But now those children of Korah, they could not agree with their father. And then it is specifically mentioned that the children of Korah died not. And now, if it is right in our life, when the Lord grants special blessings and special deliverances in his special providence, then that places us under special obligation and it requires a special thanksgiving. Then how often we have had special protection and special care that the Lord has watched over us. But where has it now brought us? Have we hardened our heart, or has it been, as I read in Romans 2 verse 4, that it is the goodness of the Lord that leadeth to repentance? And now the Lord, in his providence, had a special place and a special purpose for the children of Korah. Samuel, he was also a descendant of Korah. And then among the descendants of Korah, then they received the place in the temple service to sing the praises of the Lord. 11 psalms are ascribed unto them. And now in this psalm, in the first 3 verses, then we read that thanksgiving was made unto God. Lord, thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Jacob means supplanter. He has deceived his father. And then we are brought into captivity concerning the penman of this solemn. Of course, by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, there are different thoughts. Many believe it was by the sweet psalmist of Israel, David. Others think perhaps that it was after the captivity in the time of Zerubbabel, or in the time of Nehemiah, after a number have returned from Babylon. Of course, David in his life could also speak of those times of captivity concerning the children of Israel when Saul has reigned And when the Philistines have inflicted much damage, also in a personal way, thus the first three verses, then the psalmist is given to speak of the wonderful things of the Lord and also the pardoning of sin. To come to the table of the Lord, then we must also be able to tell what the Lord has done in our life, and that there has been a time, of course, how blessed those boys and girls are that do not know of a former life, that have feared the Lord since their youth, when the Lord works richly in the midst of a congregation, then those blessed matters shall be experienced. When the Lord converts us, then it is, as it were, that we are brought out of captivity. Then we learn by the uncovering light of the Holy Spirit that we are in captivity, and all our own fault because of our sins. And then in that captivity, then we weep many tears, because Christ has said in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, blessed are they that mourn. And now to come to our text words, then it is evident with everything that the psalmist and the land has experienced, that there were still many trials and many troubles. John Bunyan has stated in a certain place, a Christian is seldom at ease. When one trouble doth him leave, another one doth him seize. A true Christian shall experience on the ocean of this life that many a storm comes down upon his little boat. But the Lord shall watch over his children, and in those ways of trials and afflictions, then they shall learn more and more who the Lord is and who they are. Thus it is clear when we read this solemn, that the psalmist and that the land still had many difficulties and many trials. But now the privilege that the psalmist received, because in the life of the church, it is received goods. What Christ has merited in the state of his humiliation, and which he grants by his Spirit in the state of his exaltation. What a blessing it is also for the church of God in a week of preparation, when it may become lively. Many times Zion has to lament with the prophet Isaiah in chapter 24, verse 16, my leanness, my leanness. Alas, how often in the life of a child of God that they resemble those seven lean cows in the dream of Pharaoh, and that they are given to use the means of grace, and that they still remain lean. But now when the psalmist was given to feel a great burden, and therefore a special prayer, oh, Church of God, may the Lord grant those exercises in a week of preparation, because we read, turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thy anger toward us to cease. In this solemn, we read of anger, and the Lord being angry four times. Of course, there is a difference between a judicial anger and a fatherly displeasure. When the Lord uncovers us by the work of the Holy Spirit, then we experience that judicial wrath over our sins. And then we are given to cry unto the Lord. That is necessary to experience, because in the form and in answer number 82 of our Heidelberg Catechism, there are mentioned 3 points that are necessary to know and to experience to come to the holy table of the Lord's Supper. And that in the first place, a knowledge and a sorrow over our sins, and that we are humbled thereunder, does not say in the past, but it speaks of the present. Ah, the child of God, they learn how poor and how dependent they are upon the Lord for everything. Oh, what a blessing when the prayer may be granted for a revival in our hearts concerning the things of the Lord. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Thus the psalmist was burdened, was grieved, that the hand of the Lord was so still over that people. Still many a difficulty, that anger was experienced. And how does that people now know and experience that anger? Boys and girls, how do we know if someone is angry at us when we are in their presence and we see their face? That word anger in the Hebrew language, that actually comes from a word that refers to face and to nostrils. We read in the book of Esther in chapter 1 that those wise men present, that they kept a close eye on the face of the king. We read in Daniel 3, when those three friends have refused to bow before that golden image of Nebuchadnezzar, that the visage of the king changed. Oh, what a blessed place. In our solemn, it tells of a tender life and of a close life, and that that fatherly anger, that it became such a burden, he was given to speak of us, thus concerning, wilt thou be angry with us forever, O Lord? Shall we not experience thy smiles? Speakest thou no more to us? Art thou leaving us over to ourself? Lord, it is so still. That is the greatest burden for a child of God when it is right. Oh, alas, alas, they can wander like a sheep for such a long time. But now what a blessed place to be, to not be able to leave the Lord on his place. And then he has added, thine anger to all generations, O Lord, revive us and our children, do a great work. And to that end we read in our text as a continuation, wilt thou not revive us again? Thus the church of God, they need that revival each time by renewal. They are so dependent upon the immediate working of the Holy Spirit. Oh, in that way, how necessary and precious Christ becomes as prophet, a priest and king. And now the psalmist, oh, then he has added a special purpose. Oh, we would say those words. They have touched the chord strings, if we may say it so reverently, at the heart of his God. Because then the psalmist has said, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? That is the desire of the church of God. Oh, then they are in their element, when with a broken and a humble heart, with a confession of their sin, with a lively prayer, the exercises of faith, and that they are given to beg of the Lord, oh, that we may be given to rejoice, not in the first place in the gifts. Oh, it is true, the gifts are precious, but now Zion delights in the giver. Oh, it is the desire of the true church of God, that the Lord may revive that work, that the Lord may stir them up, that they may rejoice in thee, people of God. How has it now been? When in short, oh, it is true, concerning the riches of Lord's Day number 15, who was able to declare the riches thereof, the suffering of the Lord Jesus Christ? But has it then been, as I read, were those travelers traveling to Emmaus, and when Jesus has went out of their sight, then they have said, did not our heart burn within us when he opened to us the scriptures? And then they have returned to Jerusalem. Oh, that is the marrow of the gospel. And then the church, truly, they may be given to rejoice in thee. The church learns what the apostle Paul has declared in Romans 11 verse 36, of him, through him, and to him be all things forever. Ah, that is the desire, people of God. Are there no exercises in this week? Oh, is it also the prayer? Because for a revival, that is for a people, where it can be so lukewarm, Where it can be so quiet. Where it can even seem so dead. Oh, where our confession can still be orthodox. We can still perform our duties. But now the necessity, revive us, Lord, and we shall be revived. Cause thy face to shine upon us, and we shall be saved. Our second thought, the mercy desired. Then the psalmist becomes more specific. Church of God, are there also specific requests or a specific desire in our prayers when it is also general? That is not such a healthy sign. But when the Lord grants that revival and those exercises, and with that vehement to rejoice in thee, then the church cannot be humbled, and they cannot bow low enough. But now in our text words, then the psalmist becomes more specific. Verse 7, we may see it as a prayer upon the promise given to the Old Testament church concerning the coming Messiah. Because we read in our text words, show us thy mercy. O mercy, that is kindness and that is love. And that specially refers to having pity. That is now the hope, the expectation, and the exercise of the psalmist. Thus, when he says in our text words, show us thy mercy, then he is declaring that he has nothing to plead upon. And in those words, mercy and salvation, implying with everything that he has experienced, that he is a sinner still. Have sinners come up in this evening hour? Have a few souls come up burdened with their sin? That you may speak of the first verses, maybe partly led out of captivity, perhaps not dare to say the second verse, thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people, but if it is true, it shall be our prayer, and we shall receive hope, and there shall be times when the Lord comes over with his love, that it seems that it is all plain. But now in verse 7, show us, thus a warm heart. The psalmist includes his fellow man, a blessing when in a week of preparation, the Lord may grant special exercises for seeking souls. Show us thy mercy. And now the church needs mercy in the way of providence. The little ship on the sea, with all the trials, with all the tribulations, and how manifold they can be, but above all mercy in the way of grace. And then even more specific, and grant us thy salvation. A salvation that means to be delivered, that means to be saved. And that is only possible through the Lord Jesus Christ. Because I read in Matthew 1 verse 21, that he has come to save his people from their sins. Concerning that expression, thy salvation, the first time we find it in the Bible was pronounced on the deathbed of Father Jacob, when in between those blessings, he is given to exclaim in Genesis 49 verse 18, I have waited for thy salvation, O Lord. And the last time in the Bible, that is in Luke 2 verse 32. Oh, that Simeon, when he was given to hold that Christ child, Lord, now lettest thou thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Thus that refers to the Lord Jesus Christ, who was born in a stable and laid in a manger. And now the psalmist, he did not say, grant me my salvation, but thy salvation. And that is what the church learns by the leading and by the instruction of the Holy Spirit. Thy salvation. Ah, the church learns that it is mercy and mercy alone, and that they can never save themselves. But now thy salvation, O the psalmist, was given to exclaim thereby that the origin of salvation, that is with the Lord. It has been thought out in the council of peace. Then in the second place, thy salvation purchased by the Son of God in the state of his humiliation. And in the third place, in the application, because the Lord works by word and by spirit, and it is now the work of the Spirit to bring a soul to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now concerning the Lord's Supper, thy salvation, that is declared in the elements of the broken bread, and the poured out wine. And now for a people, concerning thy salvation, concerning the knowledge of the mediator, what a questions and what an assaults and what a storms can be concerning that second point. But then we may examine ourselves, Church of God, because let us ask each other, has now the Son of God, that blessed and adorable Lord Jesus Christ, being revealed to us, has he become necessary, and has he become precious? Oh, how precious he is. When he may be revealed, then he is fairer than the children of men, and then we are given to see the riches of those words, thy salvation, that it is his work. And now that faith, that shall be assaulted many a storm, and to that end, the Lord Jesus Christ has instituted the sacrament of the Lord's Supper, that their faith may be strengthened. Let us first sing. Of Psalter 231, the stanzas 2 and 3. In grace thy people, Lord, return, and nor longer let thy anger burn. O wilt thou forever angry be? Through ages shalt thou wrath survive, and what follows. 231, 2 and 3. beg for the mercy desired, and now thirdly, the spoken peace awaited for. In the life of a true child of God, then there shall be a seeking for that assurance that they are the Lord's and that their sins are blotted out. And to that end, after the prayer, show us thy mercy, O Lord, and grant us thy salvation. Then the psalmist has expressed his further exercises. The psalmist was a waiting soul. I will hear what God, the Lord will speak. Awaiting in the Bible, that does not mean a passive waiting, but that implies an active waiting with those holy exercises at the throne of grace. And that waiting in the life of a child of God, many a lesson is learned. Many lessons concerning self, and many lessons concerning who the Lord is. Blessed people, that may be waiting at the throne of grace as beggars, pleading upon the Lord's word, a blessing, when they may receive a personal promise and to be given to plead upon the same. I read in Psalm 119 verse 49, remember thy word unto thy servant upon which thou wast given me to hope. Thus the psalmist was given to wait, a believing waiting, oh, it is true. When the time becomes long, through what a depths it can go, can be times that it seems that their little ship shall suffer shipwreck under the great storms, and that they have waited in vain. But now it is the work of the Spirit to grant that perseverance. And now the psalmist may say, I will hear. Thus do you hear, congregation. How often with our prayers, when we arise from our knees, to say it simply, then it is finished. Do we expect the prayer? But now for the psalmist, it was different. Because after his prayer, I will hear, I will wait what the Lord speaketh unto me. May the Lord grant those exercises for the children of God. Also concerning the Lord's Supper, to be brought to the table and also at the table, that the King may speak and that we may hear what the psalmist is given to declare. I will hear what God the Lord will speak. For he will speak peace unto his people. In paradise, that peace has been lost, has been disturbed, Adam and Eve driven out of paradise, and at the east side, a cherubims with that flaming sword that turned every side. And through our actual sins, that peace is only further disturbed. Think of this world. What a trouble and what a turmoil in so many different ways. But now the psalmist was given to declare, believe, that the Lord will speak, because the Lord does not do a half a work, and he shall never forsake the work of his own hands, and that he shall speak peace unto his people. What a blessing it is for a child of God when they may so come to the table of the Lord with a prayer, show us thy mercy and grant us thy salvation, and with those lively exercises that with the broken bread and the poured out wine and the partaking thereof, that a child may be led into the wonders of grace. The cost of that peace, we have heard it from Lord's Day number 15. Oh, in Isaiah 9 verse 6, and then he is called the Prince of Peace. And the angels on the fields of Ephrata in Luke 2, the verses 13 and 14, glory to God in the highest, on earth peace, a goodwill toward men. And now it pleases the Lord to speak peace by the preaching of the gospel, but also by the administration of the sacraments. He shall speak peace unto his people. Oh, we have heard it read on the last Lord's Day morning from Mark 4, with that ship, with Jesus on board. Master, carest thou not that we perish? And then the Master is risen, and he has rebuked the wind, and said, peace be still. And the sea became a calm. That is the wonder of grace for his people. Oh, in the midst of all the trials, in the midst of the questions, in the midst of the riddles, the perplexities, the assaults, and the storms. But I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people. And then the psalmist is given further to describe that people, because then he adds, and to us saints. And who are saints? That means to be a holy one, a godly one. That is a people that has been wrought upon. Thus, when we read that word saints, then in our text words, it is declared what is necessary for a child of God. A deep and profound knowledge of our sin, a godly sorrow over the same, but now to come to a saving knowledge of the Son of God, and to that end, the application prayed for and desired, show us thy mercy, grant us thy salvation, and the assurance and the strengthening of faith, that the Lord may speak peace to his people. Oh, to be led, what it has cost the Lord Jesus Christ to purchase that peace. He has taken the sins of his people upon him. He has suffered, he has died, he has risen, and sitteth at the right hand of the Father. but now gratitude. Then when the psalmist is given to speak of saints, because when the Lord works, and of course, boys and girls, you must not understand it in this way, that God's people first have a time of sorrow, and then deliverance, and then gratitude. No, that continues all their life long. But now those saints, that points to that gratitude. Because when the church may experience the exceeding sinfulness of sin, then there shall be a fleeing from the same. Our forethought, the folly warned against. Then the psalmist is given to give an exhortation, but let them, that is his people, his saints, but let them not turn again to folly. Folly, that means foolishness. And what a necessary exhortation that is for the child of God. How necessary for the church to pray day by day, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. What a better thing it is. Oh, what an exhortation that this is necessary to be spoken to the church. 'Tis a matter of grace to experience. So much grace after we have committed so much evil, that there is mercy, that there is salvation, and now for the church to experience, to commit so much evil and so much folly after received so much grace. There's a blessing when a child, each time by renewal, may come in a secret place and to confess all their folly, all their foolishness, all their wanderings, and that folly that can be in so many ways. The Apostle Paul has written to the Galatians concerning that liberty and then to turn back to the works of the law. Can be in the life of a child of God, living off the gifts, speaking of the gifts, even becoming proud and to leave the giver on his place. We read in 1 John 2, the verses 15 and 16, of the love of the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What an examples we have. David, the sweet psalmist, Lord has done such wonderful things. And we know when he was idle, how he has fallen, but also that he has numbered the people, but his heart soon smote him. There's a blessing in the life of a child of God when they are given to return to folly, that the Lord soon smites their heart. When the Lord sends a Nathan, and by renewal, show us thy mercy, O Lord, grant us thy salvation. Thus an exhortation for the church of God against backsliding. The apostle in Hebrews 12 verse 1 has spoken of the sin of which thus so easily beset us, but let them not return again to folly. Oh, it is a greater folly when they have experienced so much goodness, when there have been times that a child of God may weep over him whom they have pierced, when a child has experienced so much, so many blessings and so many trials, but let them not return again to folly. I read in Psalm 17 verse 5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. Thus the necessity each time by renewal for a child of God to examine his heart and examine his life, and each time by renewal to come to that place of repentance and to need that precious Savior. Because in the life of a child of God, there can be so much, oh, that triple-headed enemy that disturbs that peace. God's people, they know those times. Many times it is that it is gradual, but they also know of times that they know where and when that peace has departed because of their folly. But now the wonder, oh, that faithful God and that faithful Savior for a people, notwithstanding the exhortation that they experience, that each time by renewal, that they return to folly. But now the wonder that the Lord does not say to that people, I have tried it so many times, and now it is enough. No. Oh, that faithful God that shall never forsake his people. He has loved them from eternity, loved them in the fullness of time, loved them in the moment of regeneration, and he loves them still. A week of preparation. May we be given to examine all our hearts. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, in our text words there is spoken of mercy and of salvation, a people of God. May we be given to be exercised with verse 8 in a week of preparation at the Lord's table. I will hear what the Lord will speak. He will speak peace to his people and to his saints. Ah, for the child of God, then they are given to beg for tokens of the Lord's favor, that he knows of them. What a privilege it is when in a week of preparation the Lord grants some instruction, grants some encouragement, some comfort, and when necessary, rebuke, and to be a begging and a pleading people, that the Lord may speak to their souls, and that with a purpose, as we have heard out of verse 5, O people of God, is that your prayer? In a week of preparation, that I may rejoice in thee. Is that our prayer and our exercise concerning the sacrament of the Lord's Supper? When the Lord has shown that way outside of herself, a revealed mediator, and that it may be, Lord, may I be given to rejoice in thee. Amen. Let us close. Lord, may it please thee to grant unto thy Zion those necessary, those blessed, and those sweet exercises concerning thee, but also concerning the sacrament, and with those holy desires to be given to rejoice in thee. Lord, may thy church be given to examine themselves concerning that wedding garment. Grant a prayer for one another. Watch over us in the furtherance of this week. Wilt thou keep us from sin, from temptation, from folly? Bind us more and more together as beggars at thy throne of grace. Wilt thou bless the labors of our hands? Bring us now safely to our dwellings. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 428, the stanzas 9 and 10. A great peace have they who love thy perfect law. They shall not swerve from paths of consecration. Their happiness shall be without a flaw. Lord, I have ever hoped for thy salvation. And what follows? 428, 9 and 10. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.